Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jenny, and
Teal.
We both attend Laytonville High School. Today our topic is the presidential election of 2008. Every 4 years, a new group of youth have their first chance at voting for the highest office in the land. Where do young people get information on candidates? What factors compel them to get out and vote on election day? Do the political machines that run the campaigns focus special energy on first-time voters? In high school, social studies classes educate students about the roles in the various political offices and the balance of power between the branches of government. But when it comes to choosing between the few final candidates for president, what source of information guide young people? If you in the audience have been voting for a while, where do your opinions originally come from? How influential were your parents? Did your teachers express their preferences for the candidates? Were you swayed by campaign slogans? Did advertisements and posters affect your choice? Did you discuss politics with your peers? Do you think that teachers should keep their political leanings to themselves? Do they? The current candidates for president have been in the news a great deal. Many people see a clear distinction between Barack Obama and John McCain. Some say that the two senators are just opposite sides of the same coin. This is the first time in American history that a person of color has been a major party candidate for a president. A woman is vice presidential candidate. Whichever way this election is decided, history is being made. When it actually comes time to vote, many people wonder if they are fully informed and if they can trust the statements of the candidates. Many become cynical about the entire process. On average, half of the eligible U.S. voters do not bother casting their ballots. Some say, quote, "I don't vote because it only encourages them." Others feel that not voting is a way of expressing dissatisfaction with the system. In Australia, failing to vote incurs a fine of nearly $50. Do you think that forcing the citizens to vote would improve the quality of our democracy? For many U.S. voters, there's a huge difference between Obama and McCain. According to the media, many voters are undecided. What is at stake in this election? How will the future look if McCain becomes president? How would an Obama victory influence the world opinion? How would the result of this election influence your day-to-day life? There are many third-party candidates in this election, though the media almost completely ignores them. Cynthia McKinney is the Green Party candidate. Ralph Nader and Ron Paul are also in this election. Do you think it is right that they are excluded from nationally televised debates because they have little chance of winning the election? Are their opinions a threat to the status quo, or would their presence in the debates just confuse the issues? Do you trust the results of the two last presidential elections? Do you know that many people were kept from voting in swing states and that a large portion of them were African American origin? Does our media clarify our political situation or does it shape it? Some people say that the youth vote is crucial in the outcome of our elections. Some people say that 16-year-olds should vote, like they do in Austria. What we want to do today is to discuss the upcoming presidential election as it relates to youth. There are numerous ways of looking at this. We will talk about our research for about 15 to 20 minutes, then we will open the phone lines and encourage you to express your knowledge and opinions about these subjects. We are at the Willett Studio, and our phone number is 456-9991. We'll mention the number again when we open the phone lines. Let's begin by talking about what we have learned about this presidential election and what we think is at stake on November the 4th. Teal, what influences your political opinions?
One of the bigger parts of my influences is my parents. They have their opinions and they watch the news all the time. I come home and I get to see the debates or whatever's on the CNN news typically. I feel that my opinion's well developed though. Even if I didn't have my parents, I would still vote the same way if I could vote, I would do that the same way I would now.
What I think is really interesting is in Austria how 16-year-olds could vote, and that means that Teal and I legally could be voting if we were in Austria because we're both 16. I think that's pretty scary. Just because it, at school, we're not really educated that much about the election or candidates. And so I think that would be pretty hard as a 16-year-old. Maybe in Austria, they have a different way of teaching their students or youth how to vote. But I know in America at this time, I wouldn't feel prepared to vote. Do you think you would be?
I think our school needs a class designated for the election or the news and what's going on with America. We're not, I don't think we are well informed enough at school, but I don't know. What about you?
I think, like you just said, a class would be really awesome. Just for, like Teal said, a quarter or something of the year, just so we can have more information about the election process or our candidates, maybe have a research group research, you know, like Barack Obama, or a research group research McCain or Ralph Nader or something like that, just so you're better informed. And I think that at this time, the reason why a lot of people aren't voting is because they don't feel that they're well informed. They don't feel that they have enough information to vote. They just don't feel that their opinion really matters because they're uninformed about the truth or about the election process.
So along with that, do you think we should care about politics?
I think that we should care about politics, just because it's going to affect us later on. You know, people might say, oh, well, one vote doesn't matter, but a vote really does matter in a way, and you should be well-informed, or you should educate yourself, and you should care about politics, because ultimately it affects you in your daily life, who becomes president. What do you think, Teal?
Yeah, definitely. Our vote is what makes our future the better place. Our vote is what we hope can happen. Without our vote, I don't know. It would be up to the people in charge, and sometimes those people are corrupt. But if they're not corrupt, then we are lucky. But that doesn't happen all the time.
Do you think by not voting, it's a way of expressing your opinion?
I don't know how much of an opinion you would get out, though, because no one knows. I mean, you can tell, I don't know, start a group and say, don't vote. But if you just don't vote, then you're not saying much. You're just not voting for those people.
Yeah. The majority of America doesn't vote anyways. And so it's not really democracy if, you know, like 40% votes or 30% percent votes. It'd be nice if people could really, you know, educate themselves more, or at least make an effort to vote. And then it'll create more balanced democracy, and we'll have the majority of the people, and we'll know what their views are. Because right now, basically, it's a 40% of America is ruling the 100%. And so that goes back to what we're talking about. Teal, you said that Australia, there's a rule that everybody has to vote?
Yeah, there is. It's a law, and if you don't, it starts off with a penalty of $20 and can go up to $50. So that some people can't afford that, so they feel, yes, I have to vote. And my question is, do you think that should happen in America? Do you think it should be a law for America to vote?
I personally think that Americans shouldn't have to vote. I'm afraid that if it were a law, people who aren't serious about the election would just go out and, you know, close their eyes and pick a candidate or something without really knowing what their background was, or without really looking into, you know, what's the differences or similarities. And so it wouldn't really be a truthful election, but I can see the pros for that too. You know, we'd get the majority to vote, we'd get 100% of people to vote, but I personally don't really like that idea. What about you?
Well, I agree with you, but I just think people should care more. I don't think they should have to rely on the law to make people to vote. I think they should care enough about their country, about their lives, to want to try and pick the better candidate or see who's going to be a better leader.
Right here I have this statistic. It says, Michelle Obama said more than 10 million 18 to 24-year-olds are still not registered to vote. The Barack Obama campaign sponsors a website, which is www.voteforchange.com, that helps citizens register to vote, request absentee ballots, and find polling locations. What do you think about that idea, how Barack Obama has a website that can help people vote and register to vote who haven't in the past?
I think it's great. I think people should be encouraged to vote and try and get as many to vote as possible. I think it's, I don't know why you wouldn't vote in this election. There's a lot at state at stake, and it's an important election.
I think that, like you were saying, this election, more people are going to vote, especially the youth. In the past, 18 to 29-year-olds haven't been voting very much, but I think that in this election, they feel that, like you said, a lot is at stake. And their statistics are showing that more youth are coming out to vote, and that's, you know, a really good thing that's come out of this election.
Are you confident in the voting process in the U.S.? Florida 2000 and Ohio in 2004 are some issues.
I think that there are a lot of problems that are occurring with our voting processes, like how people are being bullied into voting one way, or, you know, pressured into voting one way, or how when people send in their votes, it could be changed, or, you know, if there's a slight error with your ballot, they could throw it out. And so I think that America could think of a better way to vote, or get a better, more truthful, overall, result. But I think it's worked in the past, but I just think that there could be a better solution.
Yeah. I definitely feel that there is fraud, though, in the voting system, that, the voting machines that count the votes, they can easily be messed with or changed. So I think there does need to be more of security on our votes, and the mail-in votes, they should be more, well, I don't know, I think there just needs to be more of a security.
There's this comic that was written by Greg Palast and Robert Kennedy Jr. that says, in 2004, Bush won New Mexico by just 5,988 votes, yet over 21,000 of them were blank. That's really weird, because when you think about, like, how can America let that happen? And how, if this is true, you know, isn't a democracy if this is true? Like, how do you think this happened?
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
What about a poll tax? Do you think that a poll tax is a good idea?
I don't really think so. I think they shouldn't be fined for that. I think they should just do it, choose to or choose not to.
Yeah. So in Australia, you get fined if you don't vote. But do you think that's a good idea for in America, if people don't vote or they don't take it seriously, do you think that we should be fined?
I guess you could, if you were poor, then you would definitely want to vote. But if you weren't, and you just felt that you didn't need to vote, that you didn't think either candidate was right, then I don't really think you should get fined. But I think you should be encouraged to try and find the right candidate and get your opinion.
The comic that had the 21,000 blank votes was called Steal Back Your Vote, and it can be downloaded at www.steelbackyourvote.org, and it deals with a lot of election problems, and it's pretty funny. And the website is www.steelbackyourvote.org if you'd like to check that out.
So what do you know about the current presidential candidates?
Well, I think that,
okay.
Teal, would you like to go?
Yeah. I know their stances and I know their differences and I also know their similarities. I have my opinion on which one I would choose, but, I think it's a little weird that there still are a lot of people out there that are undecided. They've been doing this for like 2 years now, I think. And definitely they are define themselves as different candidates with all these debates and with all these commercials and rallies and all that. So I think you should probably get your opinion soon because the election's coming up.
What do you feel about campaigns or advertisements that put down the other candidate? Do you feel that those are being fair or they're just not really helping?
I think it sort of lowers the campaign. I think you should raise above that and talk more about your opinions instead of trying to make fun of the other guy and say he's doing it bad. You should talk more about yourself and what you're going to do instead of wasting your time using mudslinging. What is similar in the platforms?
The economy, I guess. They both want to pull us out of this crisis. I think even though their plans are fairly different, I think they both, you know, want to help America get out of, you know, it's the situation it's in right now. Whatever plan that is, whatever, you know, it takes.
Well, they both want America to be safe. And I feel that they both are patriotic and love their country, but I feel that they do have some big differences in, say, the environment or the war.
We have a clip from Ferguson that we will play shortly.
Do you know what bothers me is that every election year as well, you get the voter registration drives aimed at the young people. You know, rock the vote, the vote's crack-a-lackin'. Think the vote, you know, music the vote. Here, the vote, the vote, the vote, the vote, the vote, the vote, the vote. Are we so lost we have to be sold our own democratic right? What the hell is wrong with it? What is going on? We have to sexy up the vote for young people? Remember 4 years ago Puff Diddley had that group Vote or Die? Then it turns out he didn't even vote himself. Maybe he forgot what his name he registered under. Listen, here's what I would say to you. Here's what I would say. If you don't vote, you're a moron. Right? If you... Listen now. I know what you're saying. Well, not voting is a vote. No, it isn't. Not voting is just being stupid. Voting is not sexy. Voting is not hip. It is not fashionable. It's not a movie. It's not a video game. All the kids ain't doing it. Frankly, voting is a pain in the ass. But here's a word. Look it up. It is your duty to vote. The foundation in this democracy is based on free people making free choices. I'm an American. This country is at war right now. Americans in foreign lands wearing uniforms representing this country are losing their lives. Americans here in this country are losing their homes. We have two patriotic candidates, right? They both love this country. They have different ideas about what to do with it. Learn about them. Read about them. Question them. Listen to them. Then on election day, exercise your sacred right as an American and listen to yourself.
Okay, so the next question is, what do you think is at stake in this election?
Well, I think that America as a country is definitely at stake. It's going to it might tear apart the country because it's basically a vote, you know, against racism or sexism. You know, if many people will think, well, you know, we're not going to vote for Obama because he's black, or we're not going to vote for John McCain because he has a woman as a vice president, it's definitely going to test America to see, you know, what are we going to vote for? Are we going to vote for a black president or a woman vice president? And it's also going to show the world, you know, there was the saying, are we more racist or are we more sexist? So what do you think, Teal?
Well, I think what also is at stake is the environment. And yes, we have economy problems and we have war problems, but I think without our world, then we don't have anything. So I think neither of these presidents are putting it at first. They're putting some other, like the economy right now, I would say is more above, it's more, getting more attention than the environment problem. So that's definitely something at stake, and we need to put more attention to that.
What about the propositions that are coming up? What do you think about Proposition 4, which is notification for abortion for youth, minors under 18?
Well, I think it is the right to a woman to choose if she wants an abortion or not. And I think, I don't know. I know McCain is against abortion. Obama is pro-abortion. Or he says it's the right for a woman to choose. But I think it's a little scary if you took away the right for an abortion because, say, a girl got raped or she got forced into having sex. And I just think it's so scary.
One question that comes up is this proposition really dealing about protecting our children, or is it enforcing parental authority? It might be just a way to get parents more involved in their children's lives, maybe. Maybe parents are feeling that they don't have enough control, or they aren't, or their children are just doing whatever they want, and with this prop, parents will feel that at least they have a say in their kid's life, you know. But this could also risk children's lives too. You know, this might lead to more, you know, back alley abortions or something, where children are really going to hurt themselves because they're going to find a way to abort their baby if they don't want their baby. It could also deal with a lot of health issues too, with minors who are going to, you know, get rid of their unborn baby.
What do you think of Proposition 8 on the ban of same-sex marriages?
I don't see what the big deal is about the same sex getting married. What's the difference between two, you know, men getting married or a man and a woman getting married? I just don't see why America needs to make such a big deal about what's going on.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same with Jenny, and I just think it's one of the last things. We've dealt fairly well with racism. I mean, we still haven't had a black president, and sexism is all, it's pretty well too. I think it's like the last thing we have to deal with, and I think we should just, yeah, make it all right.
I could see religious groups, though. I can see their point. They think that marriage is a holy union, that that it should only be between a man and a woman, and as it has been for the past, you know, since the earth was made. But if it's such a big deal, we can always have, it doesn't necessarily have to be marriage. It can be called something else. But it seems to me unfair that two people who love each other, they can't get married, or they can't be, you know, legally together just because the world thinks that it's, you know, wrong. it doesn't make much sense. So we are going to open the phone lines now. Our phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call in and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. And we'd like to ask you questions. Do you think that there is a significant difference between Barack Obama and John McCain? Where do you get your information about the candidates? Is this an important election, or will the world go on pretty much the same, whichever way the people choose? Is it exciting to you that either a Black American or a woman will be chosen in the November 4th election? Is it okay to be cynical about the political process and yet still vote? What advice do you have for young people about to vote for the first time? Should voting be compulsory in the United States as it is in Australia? Can you have a democracy if the citizens don't vote? Do you think that third-party candidates like Cynthia McKinney and Ralph Nader should be a part of the presidential debates? Please call in and be a part of this conversation. We'd really like to hear from you. So, Teal, what do you think about third-party candidates like Cynthia McKinney and Ralph Nader being excluded from the political debates?
Well, I think they should be more involved because having only two candidates definitely narrows our decision and our opinions. And I know to be up there with the media and all that, you need a lot of financing. So I think that's also a problem, that you need a lot of money just to get your name out there.
Yeah, and I don't know the statistics, how much they have been campaigning or their advertisements, but it seems like if we're going to have a fair election, everybody should have, you know, a fair chance to get up there and say their opinions. And it seems like just because they're the third party, the minority, they don't have a fair chance, you know. And so, you know, what's the difference between Barack Obama or, you know, Ralph Nader going up there and saying their speech? I think that everybody should have a fair, time to go up there and, you know, say what their opinions are.
Yeah, we would, it would definitely, I'll read the number one more time. 456-9991.
We'd really like to hear from you and see what your insights were and, you know, who was running for president when you first got to, decide, and vote. So, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for a really great show. I think you're doing a really good job. Just a couple of comments. In Australia, I don't think that you have to vote, but you do have to go to the polls and put in a ballot. If you don't want to mark your ballot, it doesn't matter. But that's just to keep people from not voting out of laziness or suppleness, because it is like in your little, your clip that you played, it is a duty, it's a responsibility. It's not, people aren't just the recipients of rights, am I right this, am I right that. They also have to do their part to, it is a participatory form of government. And that's, and we don't have to actually vote all that often. And so I think that's a good idea. You brought up that really interesting thing. I think, was it in Austria?
Yes.
Where they voted 15. And I think that's a good idea. I'd accept that in California, for example, there's a lot of ballot initiatives that make the voting a little more complex than just, for example, say, voting for a candidate, this candidate or that candidate. And so I think there's definitely some 15-year-olds that would be up to it, but in general, I don't know if how that would work.
Do you feel when you were 15 or 16 years old, did you feel that you were ready to vote for a candidate?
Probably not. You know, I was probably really swayed by my peers and people my age. More of a popularity thing than something that was pretty, that was thought out.
Mm-hmm.
But Anyway, thanks very much.
All right, thank you, caller.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, that brings up a question for me. Do you think that kids are mature enough when they're 15 or 16 to vote wisely?
You know, I don't know. I'm not ready. We can ask this next caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, caller, you're on the air.
Wow, what a great show. You kids really are on the ball, and I appreciate knowing it. I'm 65, and believe me, I am as confused today as I was when I was 21, because we couldn't vote in California until we were 21 years ago. The one thing that you really hit on was we should be more, have more candidates, the third-party candidates, fifth-party, sixth-party. There should be more, and it feels more like we're being rushed to judgment and not given any kind of choice whatsoever, because both of these people have been in the Senate, they've been in politics, and they each have an agenda that is hidden, and there's no way we can ferret it out until they're elected. And that could mean a whole lot of horrible things. I don't know how well aware you are of South Africa and what's happened there politically, but it's not been very kind. And people are starving there for no good reason. And they killed their farmers off, and so they don't know how to use their land. I just don't feel very comfortable about either one of these candidates. But I am so proud to hear that you young people are making such a wonderful effort to try and understand our political system. You have so many years to get more maturity and knowledge, but you're so graceful. I just really appreciate that KZYF and Z can have you on the air.
Oh, well,
it gives me hope. Because I'll tell you, this election scares me to death. Mm-hmm. There's so much at stake. For every person in this society, there is very much at stake. And it's very frightening. And so all we can do is count on the youth who love their parents and who love their elders to make the right decision in picking a candidate. Because without their making that effort, who knows what will happen to the old people in this country. It's really terrifying. And so I'm so proud that this station has allowed you to express your opinions and to show your enthusiasm and never lose it. Always look at every election as an opportunity to express your best thoughts toward not just what's going to affect your family, but will affect everyone on the whole United States, because it's what's going to happen. It's going to affect everyone. You're just so blessed, and I'm so proud of you. Keep up the good work, kids. Ciao.
Okay, thank you, caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, hi there. I want to echo the last caller's... Oh, I'm sorry. I got this other radio on. I'd like to echo the last caller's congratulations to you kids for the great job you're doing. And I'd like to bring up a subject that I think will be important, and that is the... Well, let's look at it this way. You go to a restaurant, you order something, and it's out, so they send you away. You know, they don't give you a second choice. Well, our elections are that way. If you want to vote for a Ralph Nader or for a Cynthia McKinney, it's very likely your vote will not be counted. It'll be set on the shelf someplace, and then, you know, maybe 46% goes to this person, 47% to the other, and that's the election. Well, there's a system whereby the people who wanted Ralph Nader or Cynthia McKinney could vote their conscience that way, and if those persons didn't get a majority, well, then their second choice for the president would be looked at. Every single ballot would be counted for somebody, and the winner would end up with at least 51% or whatever. And this is called instant runoff voting or ranked preference voting. And what you do, you get your ballot to say, in the example just given, you say, okay, well, I want Nader first. And then after that, like in the last election, it would be, you know, whatever your choice was. And you could fill out as many choices as there are candidates, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and your vote would be counted. I think that as young people, I'd like it to bear that in mind and perhaps fight for it if an initiative ever comes up that offers that to you. That's about all I have to say.
So why do you think the third-party candidates have been excluded from the debates?
Now, that's a whole other story. If you're listening to KZYX, you will find out that this debates commission, it sounds like it's an official governmental body. No, it's an agreement between the Republicans and the Democrats. They put the whole thing together. It used to be the women, the League of Women Voters that ran the debates, and they'd have all comers, but the major candidates didn't like sharing the stadium, the podium, I should say, with the other ones, and so they took over the whole process. And it's tragic to me. I mean, Ralph Nader, in my opinion, Cynthia McKinney have some very, very important ideas. So did Dennis Kucinich. Things that really need to be spoken about, and they're not part of the discourse. And that, of course, leads right back to the issue of campaign finance. I mean, it's just enormous how much money is out there funding these people. They're talking about $1 billion for this campaign. I was shocked to learn from KZYX last week that all these hundreds of thousands of voters that have put in small contributions, less than $100, to Barack Obama, I understood them to say that that's only about one quarter of his campaign war chest, and the rest is coming from Wall Street and all these other places. So I'd like to make another suggestion that you kids might be able to fight for, and that is that how about making campaign contributions anonymous? You know, the money goes to a central clearinghouse, and the accounts are kept there, and the candidate can find out maybe every week what the total amount of money is, but they have no idea where it came from. That, I think, would probably take half the money out of the race right now. We have corporations giving to both, you know, Republican and Democrats, so that no matter who gets in, they'll have an ear in the White House. You know, well, that's just not right, and that is the basis of a lot of our problems in our country. And as I say, I just hope you young people will bear some of these things in mind and fight for them if the opportunity should arise. I hope that will in the years to come. By the way, I believe Australia has instant runoff voting, and so does the city of San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's...
Okay, that's all I have to say. Thank you, guy, again for your show.
Well, thank you, caller.
Yep.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you. Couple things. I just wanted to clarify one thing, and that is when people talk about, oh, you have a chance to vote for a woman for vice president. Geraldine Ferraro was the Democratic candidate in 1988 for vice president, along with Michael Dukakis, and they lost, of course, to George Bush Sr., who formerly was the head of the CIA. The other thing I wanted to mention was one of your previous callers had talked about how fearful she was. I wanted to remind you guys to live for hope. Okay, that hope is the future. People are motivated out of one or two things. One is fear, one is love. Okay, go for the love. And always remember that when, you know, don't succumb to fear. As Franklin Roosevelt said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. It seemed to rally a nation for a long time. Let's not forget that message. The other thing that I wanted to echo was the previous caller's thing for instant runoff voting is what it's called, and where your second and third place votes gets actually tallied and counted. And it's they tried it in San Francisco. A Green Party candidate almost won. It's probably the only way that we're ever going to get a viable third candidate or something like that. There is a big difference between these third and fourth candidates, Cynthia McKinney, Ralph Nader. There's a world of difference, and one of the reasons that they're frozen out is the League of Women Voters doesn't allow them in their debates. The corporate media doesn't want anybody to know what their positions are because they're very oriented towards the betterment of the working class and the middle class, which has been frozen out and tried to be eliminated with George Bush. I want everybody to get familiar with what it really means when McCain talks about tax cuts. What they're talking about is tax cuts for the corporate rich, just like the first Bush tax cuts gave a 15-year retroactive tax rebate to the 15 largest corporations, stole all the money from the U.S. Treasury. Then they proceeded with an illegal war based on lies to steal the present, and now they've stolen the future from everybody. So it's really important, and I really applaud you for being involved. It's important that you get real familiar with the issues, that at this point the economy's taken over the whole forefront of the war in Iraq, which is, again, a war based on total lies, and
anyway, without going on to my soapbox, instant runoff voting is something that you can become familiar with, work for it. Some of these issues take 20, 30 years before the public mind changes, much as the Measure 8 vote, which is, you know, to take away the civil rights of gay, lesbian, and transsexual, bisexual people, to take their rights away. And so I would encourage everybody to vote no on that one. But you know, 20 years ago, it wouldn't even have been an issue. It would have just been, oh, yeah, that's irrelevant. You know, 40 years ago, the whole issue of black people voting. So instant runoff voting is a thing for the future. I applaud you for your involvement, and I hope that you become familiar with that one. And anyway, it's very good that you're doing this. And, you know, like somebody was saying, there's a ton of California initiatives on the ballot that at some points is befuddling, particularly if you're somebody that watches television and watches the T. Boone Pickens commercials or something like that. And you, it's very easy to be misled by the, because most of the, you know, they hire psychologists to come up with their media campaigns and things like that. So unless you're really tuned into the issues, and again, back to the whether 16-year-olds should vote. 16-year-olds should be able to vote. They're mature enough to vote. The question is whether they've been given the educational background to vote. And unfortunately, in our society, most people have not, particularly if they've gone to the public schools. So these are just a few thoughts. And again, I commend you. And remember, live for hope, not for fear. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you, caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering how you think you can afford a change as far as either wanting a third-party candidate or also making these elections so that we don't feel that there's any shenanigans or anything like that, so that we actually have legitimate elections. What you guys as young people could do to make a difference?
Well... Could I ask you something? Were you able to vote when you were 18?
Yes.
Did many of your friends vote?
I think so. I lived in New York City, and the college that I was going to was extremely excited by the election and all the rest of it. So, yes, I did.
I think one thing that could change is that if more youth would come out and vote and express their opinions, I think in the past they haven't, and hopefully in this election they will continue, they will pick up and start voting and getting their opinions out and their votes out. I think that is really important, and that will definitely sway the result. Do you have any opinions?
Well, what we talked about before is to have a class in the school specifically for the elections or news. And I think that would really inform the kids, and like they would get to hear and they have their own ideas, and then they would go out into the public and then say what they've learned.
Do you have any opinions, caller, of how to inform the youth or to get more people to start voting?
I think that idea of class in the school is a good idea. And then I guess just talking about it, I personally don't understand why after like 2000 and 2004, when there seemed like there was perhaps voter fraud and things like that, that our country didn't think that was like a primary thing to pay attention to. But I guess... Yeah, I think a class. I know that right now government and economics is a class that you can perhaps, seniors have that you can talk about that. But I do think a class would be a good idea. And then talking to your own friends, trying to motivate them, et cetera.
Well, the one idea I have is to put security on your mail-in votes, your more security on the machines that count your votes. So just make it more, make it, it's harder to break into, less fraud.
Uh-huh. But then there's also things like kind of propaganda. that they put out there that make people afraid. And then I don't know if you're not, you don't pay attention that much, how you...
What kind of propaganda? What do you mean?
Well, like we heard on, I'll listen to Bill Maher, and then he was saying, like, police are at the ballot booths, or they put up different signs and things like that that will sway you, and how to just get people more informed that, like, one time I went to vote, and I didn't, you know, my polling place had changed, and I didn't realize that, and then I missed voting. Just how to get people more informed.
Okay, and then one thing to bring to that is that polls mislead people sometimes. Maybe they could be a rigged poll and saying this person's in lead when really they're not. So that's persuading as well.
So what do you think about polling? Like, do you think, like, on TV you see, oh, so-and-so's ahead in this state. What do you think about those polls?
I think they definitely would influence people. Lots of the time you see, oh, well, okay, like Obama's this percent or John McCain's this percent. So they feel, you know, okay, well, maybe John McCain's going to win or maybe Barack Obama's going to win. And so they feel that since they've got a lead, their vote doesn't really matter. And so they just decide not to vote because they feel, oh, the candidate that I want to win is already in the lead. They're probably going to win. And so they just don't. Vote when it's still really necessary for those people to vote.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. Actually, personally, would rather not see any of the polls and just see what happens with people. Or the same thing, I think they've changed it now, but California, they used to start announcing the election in New York when, you know, the polls have closed and California people are still voting. So that influenced them as well. But I just wondered how you thought you could get safer elections and, you know, what you could do with students, having classes on that, having people come in and talk to you. Would you like that at school?
Yeah, definitely. It would serve all our students pretty well.
I know that Dennis Kucinich has actually spoken at Mendocino College. But maybe trying to get more people in to talk to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then write in letters and things like that.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, you guys are doing great. I appreciate that you care about your country.
Well, thank you so much, caller.
Okay, thank you.
Caller, you're on the air? Oh, I'm sorry. which, that was a very good point, you know, to get guest speakers to come, you know, Teal Student Body Student Body President, maybe we can do something, you know.
Yeah.
Get some more people to come in and talk to our student body.
Once again, the number is 456-9991.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling back just to add one more thing. This is about the gay marriage thing.
Oh,
I just
want
to point out that it used to be that marriage was between one man and one woman one time. In New York City, for example, people would set up phony situations where a guy would bring his friend home and they had arranged for the wife to be there with another guy, and then you have grounds for divorce. Well, they got rid of that, and then it became one marriage between one man and one woman of one race. You know, you could not marry across racial lines. Well, they got rid of that. Now it's between one man and one woman. People want to keep it that way. I would just have to say that maybe we should think marriage between two people who truly love one another and just let it go at that. I hope that's the direction that it will eventually evolve to.
Yes, definitely. Thank you, caller.
You bet. Thank you again.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. Let me turn off my radio. I wanted to comment that all of the corruption in the elections seems to be in the East, where they use voting machines. This computerized voting is subject to a middleman, which I heard about on this radio station, who tampers with the votes. before they actually go to be counted. And I think the electronic business should be out. And I would like to hear your comments about that. In California, as far as I know, we have paper ballots, which can be counted and recounted and make sense. So I'll take your remarks off the air. Thank you.
Thank you. One thing, you brought up a good point, how the machines that count ballots could be, you know, could be wrong. They could be misleading. One thing, is there an alternate way to count ballots? I suppose people could. That seems to me to be more of a scary way because people could easily change ballots. But perhaps there is an alternate way, definitely.
I'm pretty sure that most people in California vote on machines, so that's just a fact.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Caller, you're on the air?
Hi. I was wondering how you guys feel, actually, about something a little different. You're talking about being informed about the candidates, which is wonderful. And a good way to be informed is if the candidates tell the truth. So I'm just wondering what you guys think, as young people, about all of these lies that the candidates both tell. And, you know, you can go to check the facts and whatever, and it's always in the San Francisco Chronicle on Sundays. But it's the same lies every week. And then they tell the truth. So, you know, do you guys think this is okay? What do you think should be done about candidates lying? And I'll take your comments off the air. Thanks for doing a great job.
Thank you, caller.
Well, yes, there are a lot of lies. And it is scary because both the running candidates now do have lies. And I guess the thing, that, like the caller says, that the before caller was said to have hope. And I guess we can rely on our hope and choose wisely with the one that seems to be lying less.
It's really hard to, you know, see, well, if someone's lying or not, but, you know, what Teal said, just try to have hope in, you know, America and our political system, see if it works. once again, the phone number is 456-9991.
And, Naomi Klein said, Politics hates a vacuum. If there is a lack of hope, fear takes over.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Get that radio off. I like most of what I've been hearing. And I wondered if are you at Willits High School?
No, we're from Laytonville High School.
Oh, well, one of the things I was wondering about is if kids in high school, 17, close to voting age, participate in the races for school board. That's local. Politics might be pretty interesting. Interviewing who's running for office, finding out about them, what they've done, whether they tell the truth or not. And I think maybe as a young person starting with really local things, local board of supervisors, local water districts, it's kind of boring, but it's going to be really, really important. And local school boards, that would be a way you could invite them to come to you and answer your questions, even though you wouldn't be able to vote right away. You're pretty close to being voting age as seniors, I think. So that's my only suggestion. I otherwise think you're doing a great show. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, and thanks a big bunch. This is a great show. But I had a comment. You were talking about knowing where the candidates actually stand. Both of them having been senators, you know, you can go to the record and see what their votes have been.
Oh.
It doesn't involve anybody's opinion. You know, frankly, I don't have a television set, and I consider myself much more informed in terms of what I can pick up off of things like the congressional record on the Internet and such. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to leave you with that. And thanks so much for the show. It's a great one.
Well, thank you, caller.
You bet.
Which lots of the time, you know, people feel that the TV or advertisements on TV are just corrupting, and just, they're not true. They're not, you know, facts. And so lots of the time, like the previous caller said, it's better to just find your own facts, just to not really believe what people are saying about the candidates, and just, you know, base your opinions off what you think.
There are only 4 more minutes, so call now at 456-991. 9991.
And so callers, call in, and we'd like to ask you, both Tila and I are 16, if you felt you were prepared to vote when you were 16 or 8, well, the age now is 18, so please call in. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. I'm calling for some advice. I've been listening to you for about the last half hour and pulled off the side of the road. And I've been a college counselor for a number of years and have always had the reaction from the students who I'm discussing classes with when I bring up political science, which is about the Constitution and voting and the whole process that we're supposed to be involved in. They always react as if I've asked them to do something nasty. And they're very reluctant to take political science classes. So my question to you is, what would you suggest to young college-age people to try and convince them that they should vote because it matters?
Could I ask you a question? What are the majors that most of these students are going into?
A lot of them are going to be teachers, business, going into business. Some are going into administration of justice. They are often the voters. Science, pretty much across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one idea I have is to have them look in the history and see what's happened, like in the past 8 years, how the bad things have happened, and to say you have to vote. It's your vote can change the future, and also hope that your vote will change the future.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. I'm calling because I want to answer your question of are 16-year-olds able and ready to vote? And I would say that the vast majority of the time they are, especially if they want to.
Yeah.
I think that anyone who wants to vote, any citizen of our country who wants to vote, should have the right to vote. And we need to, you know, in this election, you've got the racism coming up and you've got the sexism coming up. And what about the ageism? I mean, y'all are experiencing that probably pretty intensely right now in your life as teenagers, I know. And I think, you know, we should start sooner. And we should make it, you know, much more interesting because it is. It's a fascinating subject, this the way governance happens. So the question I have for you is, how can someone who is younger feel, welcome in the political process?
I definitely think, we were discussing this earlier, to have classes at school where you can talk about the political process and the election, and, you know, for students to be more aware, because in the end, ultimately, the kids are going to be the ones making decisions later on where, you know, the future.
Okay, so that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Teal, and
Jenny.
Thanks to our callers, one of the purposes of the show is to involve the community in a dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett Studio. Youth Speaks Out is produced in the cooperation with HALT, Healthy Activities for Laytonville Teens. HALT is a project designed by Laytonville's Healthy Start program. The project is creating many alternate activities for teens in our community. For more information, please contact Healthy Start at 984 984-8089. Once again, 984-8089. Or visit their website at www.leightonville.org/healthystart.html. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, and get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. That's www.youthspeaksout.net. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of November, the 30th at 2 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month.